The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocuses, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. I speak to you today in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Our Advent Gospels begin with rapture and apocalypse, and move to fire and repentance, and now to prison. This is hardly the stuff of sugar plums and peppermints that have been showing up in stores since just after Halloween. Advent reminds us of our own failings and those of the world, of our own sins and those of the world. We are led to the wilderness of self-doubt, of loneliness, of pain, and of fear, and to our complicity and cooperation. Yet, this third Sunday of Advent is called Gaudete Sunday, or Rejoicing Sunday. We are more than halfway through Advent, this season of penitence and patience and wandering in the wilderness, and the anticipation of what's to come is building and building, such that it can be increasingly difficult to focus on the task at hand. And so the liturgical calendar gives us a week to reflect on joy. But Christmas isn't here yet. The Word made flesh is not here yet. The manger, the baby, the shepherds are not here yet. We are still wandering in the wilderness. This week, we have John pointing his disciples towards the way out of the wilderness through Jesus. That is always John's role in the gospel, the one who points the way. In icons, you often see him with an outstretched finger, and it's always directed towards Jesus. More than anyone else, John sees clearly who he is to follow and where we must go. This week, John points with a question. Are you the one we're waiting for? Last week, John was a celebrity prophet with throngs of people around him. This week, he is alone in jail. Last week, John was a force, clothed in camel hair, screaming of unquenchable fire and axes cutting down trees that don't bear fruit. John was pointing to Jesus and to baptism in his kingdom with water and the Holy Spirit. This week, he is hearing of Jesus secondhand from behind prison walls. John sends word to Jesus. Are you the one we're waiting for? This question exposes the space between longing and fulfillment. Do you hear the ache and confusion in that question? Are you the one? I thought you were. I thought I understood, but now I am not so sure. Things aren't going well. This isn't unfolding how I expected it to. Are you the one? John expected a Messiah who looked a certain way, who arrived to overthrow Rome, to set right order to the systems of power by responding with more power. John proclaimed in the wilderness a Messiah who was to come, who would be greater, bigger, bolder, more powerful than any other sovereign. Now he is in prison, not the corrupt authorities who Jesus should be responding to. John is in prison, not the hypocrites who contort the law and scripture for their own gain. John points to Jesus as the Messiah, and yet the world isn't looking much better than before. Shouldn't the Messiah be doing something about that? John's question comes from this place, but it speaks to a question at the heart of our Christian faith and this Advent season. We believe that God's kingdom is already here, right now, and we believe that God's kingdom is yet to come. We gather together in Advent to prepare for new birth, for fulfillment that arrives uniquely in the form of a newborn baby. All this while living in an imperfect world with what so often seems like unbearable suffering and conflict. In the newspapers and in our neighborhoods, in our minds and in our hearts, joy may not seem to be overflowing. John's question to Jesus speaks for us. Are you the one? John knows who Jesus is, even before either of them were born. We know this as the Visitation, the time when the pregnant, young, unmarried virgin visited her much older, much more pregnant cousin Elizabeth. The presence of the unborn Jesus was so powerful that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Spirit of God filled John, who leapt in his mother's womb. That filling overflowed in his mother, and Elizabeth became the mouthpiece, the prophetic voice for John, her unborn child. Elizabeth's words then moved Mary to utter the Magnificat, a song of profound joy amongst life's challenges. John pointed to Jesus before he was born. John again pointed to Jesus before Jesus' ministry began. He proclaimed his coming and then gathered people at the River Jordan to baptize them and urge them towards repentance. And today, John still points to Jesus, this time with a question asked through others. Where does he point? To Jesus, who points us back to the wilderness with the words of the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps you're like me and read Isaiah's account of the coming kingdom and imagine a different world will be created without wilderness. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Jesus repeats this vision in the gospel. Hearing him, we could imagine a world where sickness and fear and drama and pain are no longer part of the human condition. And so we need Jesus' reminder to the crowds as he talks about John. Because right there, we're imagining a God in soft robes who belongs in a palace. This is not the nature of God, even if we want it to be. God is not with us to make things easy or comfortable or without pain. God is a God of healing rather than prevention of suffering, of restoration rather than perfection, of joy in the presence of pain. God is with us through all the difficulties in our lives. God is in the wilderness, and that's where we need to be. If this is the case, why exactly is this the week to reflect on joy? Why is this good news? Because joy is not a mood or a feeling. Happy is a feeling. Content is a feeling. We are happy and content within ourselves. But joy is something we do not find inside ourselves. Joy is something we find ourselves inside. Joy is a celebration in which we join. We don't end happy or end content, we enjoy. Joy is something we participate in. This Advent, we sit between longing and fulfillment. We hope for better as we experience this world of prisons and disappointment and conflict and sorrow. And through the ancient poetry of Isaiah, we know that a new day has dawned. It's not fully arrived yet, but the signs of life are clear. Glimpses of heaven, occasions for joy, even now. Look for them this season. Listen for them. The truth is that sometimes the darkness of the wilderness threatens to overwhelm us. But joy has the power to heal the world. Our capacity for unbridled joy, even in dark moments, is a gift from God. It is a break among the blue that a healing, reconciling God has given us to navigate our lives. And it is magnificent. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The wilderness doesn't disappear, but there is rejoicing and singing, singing for joy and healing the world. It is a song we must hear with the ears of our hearts wide open. And if we listen, really listen, we will hear nothing less than the very voice of the one who was and is to come.